while sitting on my mama's knee. All heart and all ears, my eyes fill with tears when she told where he died just for me. Though the years have gone by, I will break down and cry when the story is told to me still. Though it may be the truth, I'm getting over my youth. I will never be over the hill. Never be over the hill. I'll never be over Calvary. It was there sin's power over me was taken away. Oh, happy day, overcome by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and forever I am. Overwhelmed, overjoyed, overfilled. I'll never be over the hill. What was yesterday's marvel too soon becomes today's mundane. But the world's greatest story, redemption glory, can never be common and plain. Though it's the Johnny come lately men admire so greatly, every new win that brings a new thrill. But there's no current affair can match what happened up there. I know I'll never be over the hill. Never be over the hill. I'll never be over Calvary. It was there sin's power over me was taken away.
Revelation chapter 4. I want to preach this morning when the doors to heaven are flung open. When the doors to heaven are flung open. I want you to hear that now. When the doors to heaven are flung open. Can you imagine the day when this earth and heaven kind of blend together, the earth being nothing more than a backyard to the heavens of the heavens. When the throne of God is set in the heaven above, not in the place of his temple, not in the heavenly city, but in the heavens, which is the atmosphere somewhere between here and heaven. When the throne of God, of the Father, is set in the sky, so that when sinners look up, they will seek to find a hiding place because of the awesome sense of the Father's presence. What a day that's going to be. Well, let's read about it in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. When I said this yesterday on the radio, that the throne of God during the 7-year tribulation period would not be in the heavenly temple, but rather would be in the heavens above. So that the whole universe, the whole earth, every living soul on the earth would be able to see up in the heavens and see the throne of God and see the Father seated upon his throne. I don't believe that you will see his face. I don't believe you would be able to identify the features of his face, because it would be of such a glory and of such a majesty. John tells us how beautiful it's going to be, how awesome it's going to be. And that day is right about us, right above us, right beyond us, right at us. And it's exciting. Chapter 4 of Revelation. My wife asked me this morning to very carefully wait until she could find her place and you could find your place. And so I do that. I do that with joy. The book of Revelation. Everybody that's ready, say amen. All right. Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. A door was opened in heaven. Now, if you'll study that a little bit, it was like the distinction between here and heaven suddenly fled away. And the earth and heaven become so close and so near that it was as though a door in heaven was opened. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Don't miss that word, hereafter. So we know he's talking about something that will occur after the end of the church world, after the end of things as we now know them, and when the end time has arrived and the coming of the Lord is occurring. So he said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. See, John was still in the flesh. When we get there, we will be with our new bodies. And so we won't have to be as though it were clothed with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We will have a new body that's already in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So John was in the spirit. And that's how he was able to stand before this great scene. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunder and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, I'll read more as we move on in the message, but please notice that out of this throne, out of this majestic scene, out of this awesome scene up in the heavens. And if you'll notice, it said, and set in the heavens. Studied that word a little bit this week and found out that was an event that was occurring at the moment. The throne of God has always been in his temple. God is in his temple, and Jesus Christ is seated at his right hand. But now things are changing, and God is fixing to judge this universe, this entire earth. And God is fixing to bring everything into accountability before himself. So his throne is now set in the atmospheric heavens, where the earth can look up and see it. And it's so awesome. It says that out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God, or the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me preach to you this morning, the Lord being my helper and giving me wisdom as I preach. When the doors to heaven are flung open. When the doors to heaven are flung open. Now, if you're a Christian and you've been walking through this old troublesome world, and you've been dealing with devils and demons and all kinds of hindrances and everything imaginable coming against you, this is a breathtaking scene. If you're lost and you're unsaved and you're not right with God, it's scary. It really is scary. But if you're right with God, it's thrilling. I mean, I am so excited about being there. I sometimes just cry out, come on, Lord, I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this. Anybody ready but me? I'm ready for this. Hallelujah. And so few preachers will even preach this kind of thing. It's amazing to me, but I think you want me to preach them. How many want me to preach these kind of things? Let me see your hands. Oh, yes. I mean, we're living right near the end, and it's time to get ourselves ready. All right, you may be seated and pray as I preach this morning. Pray as I preach when the doors to heaven are flung open. When the doors to heaven are flung open. Now, God in this Bible has told us many times that the world will soon come to its conclusion. The age as we know, the present age of the church and the present world as we understand it will come to its finality, and the end of these things as we now see them and know them must come to conclusion. There must be a day of judgment. There must be a day of reckoning. There must be a day of judgment to cleanse and to purify and to get this world ready for us to reign together for 1,000 years and then get ready for eternity. Now, I'm going to do my best to preach carefully this morning because I really want you to get this sermon. I really want you to get the feeling of where we are and how close we are, how near it is, and how certain that this thing is going to end in glory for the saints of God and in judgment for the wicked. You do understand that, don't you? That the unsaved, the unspiritual, the careless, the lazy, those who allow this old world, I'm telling you, I'd really plan to preach this morning on quenching the spirit. That's a great sermon, and that's got to be preached. But the Holy Ghost, really, when I woke up, this was coming at me. And I knew I had to obey what the Spirit of God was saying to me, because we are just that near this glorious moment, this glorious day. Now, in the book of Revelation, there is a beautiful outline of how the end will occur. You have in chapter 1 of Revelation a picture of Jesus in all of his glory. You see him in his wonderful glory after he was resurrected. You see him at the Father's right hand. You see him walking in the midst of the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything you see in chapter 1 of Revelation is really breathtaking. You read it a time or two until you begin to get it, and it'll do something for you. It really will. Oh, it really will. We're reading the book of Acts now. I just finished my second reading yesterday, and I start again today, and I hope you're joining me reading the book of Acts until revival comes with Brother Mike Switzer. It won't be long, right down the road. So read the book of Acts and get your heart ready. Get your heart ready, because we are so near this glorious moment of the end. What a day, what a day, what a day it's going to be. Now, I want to try to do three things in particular this morning. I want to try to show you how near this is. I want to get you to see and to feel that we're on the threshold of this glorious ending. Now, to do that, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, if you would. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. And it lays out a scenario of the end times that are precisely what you're seeing right now. You can't read Matthew 24, these verses that I shall lead you in reading. You can't read them and not know we are there. We are there. All we're waiting for is the Father to say, it's over. That's really all we're waiting for. For the Father to say, it's over, my son is coming. Or to say to the Lord Jesus, go get the bride. All the Father's going to tell Jesus when it's time to come get us, church. The Bible makes that so extremely clear. Now in Matthew 24, let's go to verse 4. And I want to read several verses and kind of comment on them as I read them. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Could he say anything that fits this hour more than that? Take heed that no man deceive you. People are being deceived everywhere today. I have never heard of such deception. I see it in churches. preachers have so missed the truth. They have so missed the Word of God. They have so missed the great revelations of the Bible. I mean, it's amazing to me how they have missed it. And the many, many different doctrines that are out there that are very, very damning. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now notice that. These men are coming, and they're coming in his name. But they are deceivers. Well, I could take you through so many preachers today, and the things they are preaching, and show you how they are coming in Jesus' name. And so many people will say, well, if the name of Jesus is in it, then that's all counts to me, as long as they name Jesus. That could not be more deceiving and more out of order in this day than to even think such a thing. Because they say Jesus don't mean a thing in our day. How many understand that? Come on, let me see if you understand that. Because they say the name of Jesus don't mean a thing. The charismatic crowd that believe in the born again Jesus. The born again Jesus. They do not believe Jesus saves you by the blood, but he had to go to hell, and down in the pit of hell, the devil was making mincemeat out of him. I mean, he was being tormented and tortured, and he was coming under the very judgment of hell. The fires of hell was burning him Paul Crouch's wife said to a cinder. I mean, it was unreal that what they say was happening to Jesus, but then he started quoting the Bible, they said, and he was born again in hell. Well, I'm here to tell you, that is a damnable doctrine. A born-again Jesus can't save you. The Jesus that saves you is the one who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And you can go through the litany list of preachers today, especially those big time guys and ladies on television. And it's amazing the things that they preach. That scripture is being fulfilled in your life right now. Listen to me. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now listen to this. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Anybody been hearing the news lately? Wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. Oh, wars and rumors. I've never heard of so many nations that are right now struggling. The whole Middle East has got either part of ISIS or they're scared to death of ISIS. This new group of Islamic jihadists that are determined to take over the world. If you think they just mean to take Iraq and Syria and Lebanon and a few of those countries, you don't realize what they are saying. They got their eyes set on America, and they mean to put this nation under the auspices of their laws and their beliefs and their Sharia bondage. I mean, it's overwhelming what these people are planning. They really are. Now, they're not coming in Christ's name. They're coming in another name, but I'm here to tell you, wars and rumors of wars are everywhere, and they're coming like a storm, and nobody feels safe anymore. I've never seen America, what it appears to me, and I listen to enough news to keep up with it. It's just in a turmoil. The politicians are in a turmoil. They don't really know what to do. They really don't know what to say. It really is. Nation rising against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Now this, notice verse 7. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Earthquakes have become so frequent that the news don't even report them any longer. They're off the grid anymore because they are so numerous, and some of them are so big and so destructive. It's a day of numerous, I mean hundreds of earthquakes every week. Do you understand that? Do you understand what is really happening? This whole earth seems to be shaking and shivering and jumping and going into all kinds of turmoil because the judgment is hanging over this universe. And even the earth feels the tremble. even the earth feels the tremble of what's gathering and what's happening. And famines, and then pestilence. How many of you have any idea what Ebola is going to do to this world if something miraculous don't happen to handle this dreadful thing? I read just this week, and others have probably read it. I know Brother Allen has read it, that the World Health Organization has predicted that within 2 months, there will be 10,000 new cases of Ebola every week. In 2 months, there will be 10,000 new cases of Ebola each week. I listened to a little bit of news, I think it was yesterday, and this gentleman had gone down into Nicaragua, and he was at the border crossing between another country and this Nicaragua, I think it was Trinidad, and in the lines coming from Trinidad into Nicaragua was just many, many different people from Liberia in Africa, where this disease is raging, literally raging. And they were coming in the line to Trinidad. They flew to Trinidad. They're now coming into Nicaragua. And they're planning then to go from Nicaragua to New York and into America. And this man said there's just lines and lines and lines of them. Well, we know what they're doing. And right now there is people fleeing all over the world out of those countries where this pestilence has fallen. 70% of everybody who gets it dies. 70%, that's the latest statistics that I heard by authorities on the news. So we are seeing a pestilence, and we're seeing it big time. And I don't know what it may do. I don't know what's going to happen before it's over. I'm not predicting that it's going to be the end of the world. I'm not predicting what it's going to do. I'm just telling you it's scary to hear the news. It's scary to hear the news. How many of you have heard enough on the news that it sounds scary to you? Do you mind raising your hand? Do you mind raising your hand? It absolutely sounds scary. Yesterday, of all things, I was reading a little bit on the internet, and Columbus, Ohio just had their first case ever of leprosy in their prison. Leprosy in the prison of Columbus, Ohio. And they told the little country from the islands of the Pacific where this man had come from, and of course is incarcerated in prison, and he has leprosy. And as they spoke of it, it was dreadful the way they described it. Now, I don't know what's coming next, but I know this Bible is being fulfilled. There is no ifs and there is no question. Notice this. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I've got a September edition of the Billy Graham paper. The Billy Graham paper. Franklin Graham is now in charge of that ministry. And in that paper, they talk about the numbers, the tremendous numbers of people that are dying all over the world for their faith. I don't know what the number is. Maybe somebody here has heard the number of how many people die every week for their faith in the different countries of the world. I've seen pictures of just whole yards full of scarred people burned to a crisp because they were Christians by Islamic people in one particular country. Many, many thousands are dying for their faith. We haven't yet had to die in America, but it really doesn't seem far away. It really doesn't. Someone showed me just this morning where one of the main political leaders, Ted Cruz, was warning one of the press people of how quickly the preachers of America are going to be hauled off to prison because they preach against homosexuality. You do know what's happening in Houston, Texas. Right now, the mayor of that city, which is a lesbian, along with her city elders, have charged every preacher in that city and commanded them to bring all of their sermons and everything they say about homosexuality for her to review. And I believe it's 400 preachers that've got that letter in Houston, Texas. And of course, it's in a big turmoil right now. What is going to happen? What's going to happen in North Carolina? You know what the judge in Asheville just did to us in throwing out the restriction against same-sex marriage. That means North Carolina is now experiencing, right here in Mecklenburg, right in Gastonia, these homosexuals and lesbians coming to be married to one another. If you think them just getting married is all they're after, you just don't know what they're after. You really don't. They're after your children. They're after your family. They're after everybody around them. They believe they have the superior lifestyle and the superior moral, immoral conduct. You know, they just believe they're superior. Who knows what's going to happen next? The Bible said this is what would happen. It says, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Have you ever seen so much hatred in your life? Have you ever seen so many churches even full of people who hate? And they get caught up in their hatred and they don't know how to get out of it. They get bound by the power of it. Let me tell you, I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus. How about you? Hallelujah. There's nothing you're going to ever face that the blood of Jesus doesn't have the answer to cleanse you from it. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. It looks dark. It looks dark. And right on down, it says it, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We live in a world of the coldest churches you've ever heard of in your life. Oh, God, help us to get on fire and full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, young man, for standing in the name of the Lord. Listen to me. There's a coldness. There's a death that sweeps the church world because iniquity is so abounding. Iniquity is coming against us like a storm. If you think you can live a holy and godly life by your own strength, I'm here to tell you, you're just as wrong as you can be. If you're going to live this life, you need two things. You need the blood and you need the Holy Ghost. You need the blood and you need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Somebody help me preach this morning. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and let's just claim that blood. Father, let the blood sweep through this congregation. Let the blood bless our visitors and all of us saints of God. Hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And you live clean and pure by the blood. There's nothing the blood won't cleanse. There's nothing the blood won't help you overcome. There's nothing you can be defeated by if you know the power of the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he that shall endure. Oh boy, you got to hear this. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. What do you got to do to be saved? You got to endure to the end. That's what you got to do. You got to stand up with a backbone like a saw log. You got to stand up with a backbone like a saw log. You got to make up your mind. Hallelujah. Everybody that intends to endure to the end, stand up with me right here in the middle of this sermon, will you? You intend to endure to the end. Raise your right hand and wave it before God in heaven. Hallelujah. By the blood, by the blood, by the blood, by the blood. Hallelujah, brother. By the blood. Hallelujah, brothers. By the blood. We're going to overcome by the blood. And if we don't have the blood, we aren't going to overcome. Do you hear me? But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That scripture has been hated by much of the church world because it throws out the window the old crazy doctrine of unconditional eternal security. That you can live like you please and still stay saved. It ain't possible, friend. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to preach out a little while. He that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I said, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. If you don't endure to the end, you're going to fall and miss it. Hallelujah. Now, oh, hallelujah. 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 Somebody help me this morning. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a Savior we belong to. How graceful and wonderful and merciful is his mercy. Hallelujah. 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 I believe you're saved, are you? Hallelujah. Let's read the next verse now. Listen, you got to get this verse. This is breathtaking. Listen to it. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now listen to that. If you've ever seen a verse of scripture that takes you from the book of Matthew to Revelation chapter 4 that I read as my text, that's the verse. When will Jesus come, and when will the heavens be open, and when will those doors be flung wide, and when will we move from here up there, and when will God set up his throne in the heavens to judge this world, when this gospel has been preached to all nations? And could I tell you that I do that every Saturday on the internet? Do you understand that internet has made the way for every little corner on the face of God's earth to hear the word of God? There's no place that internet message don't go. It just flies through the air. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. It's amazing. But on our internet, we have a piece of software that translates the signal to every kind of phone or computer or iPhone or tablet on the face of this earth. Nobody that can't hear me on Saturday, and not just me, I'm just one, but there's others doing the same. Listen to me. Brother Danny Shortridge is putting his messages on the internet, and every message on the internet is available to everybody on the face of this earth. I've been in Baghdad and turned on Open Bible Dialogue on Saturday and listened to it in Baghdad. And now I could watch it. And when this gospel shall have been preached into all the world, the end shall come. Are you listening to me? I'm here to tell you, and Franklin Graham just said this in their paper, nothing has to happen to keep Jesus from coming right now. Right now, brother. Right now, Jesus could come. Right now, the trumpet could sound, and the sky could split wide open, and the trumpet of the and the coming of the Lord could occur. And praise God, I'd be gone in a flash. Hallelujah. 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 Hear me, church. Hear me. Hear me when I tell you we are right there. I wanted you to see verse 14 in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And then I want you to translate it over to Revelation chapter 4 and tell you that nothing has to happen for those doors in heaven to be flung wide open and for us to make our trip right up through the sky to the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you hear me? We are at the door. Well, hallelujah. 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 Glory. Just shout a little bit, will you? Praise him and love him. I'm in no hurry. Hallelujah. I started early. I got extra time. Praise God. I love you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that we're near the coming of the Lord. The day is upon us. The hour is near when the King is going to come and we're going to leave here. And if you're not ready, don't wait another moment. I'd get ready right where I'm seated. If I was not saved, I'd be in this altar before the preacher could finish preaching this morning and get my soul right with God and get ready to go. You don't want to be here when all of this comes to conclusion. You just don't want to be. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Father, let me give you interpretation. The Lord says, the coming of your Savior is at hand. The door is about to open and the great heavens to be unfurled. The time of my return is near at hand. Prepare yourself. Humble yourself. Run to the altar where my blood is made available to you. And give all you are to live a clean and godly life, saith the Lord. For those are the ones I'm coming for. saith God. Hallelujah. How many believe that? Wave your hand if you believe that. Hallelujah. He's not coming for those who are careless and those who are not conditioned. Sanctified is the best word. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you what in the world? The coming of the Lord's at the door, church. The coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, help me know how long to preach this morning. Hallelujah. I'm ready for an altar call. Anytime some sinner jumps up and heads to the altar, okay? I want everybody to stand. I just think you need to stand for the rest of this sermon and get yourself ready to rush down to these altars and get your heart right. If there's anything in your life, anything. Oh, Lord, help me. If there's anything in your heart that's not of the purest nature, get yourself right with God. I've never felt any more of God's Holy Ghost in our services than the last 2 or 3 weeks. He's moving mightily. He's moving mightily. The devil's fighting, ferociously. And let him fight on, because we're going to win. I said, we're going to win. Hallelujah. I said, we are going to win, church. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Let's go back, and I got to stop you at the book of 2 Peter, okay? I want you to actually see this scene as Peter portrays it of this day when the heavens fling open, when the doors of heaven fling open. I want you to see the scene. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 9. You may be seated if you like. Okay, the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise are you talking about, Brother Chambers? The coming of the Lord. That's the promise, the rapture, the glorious rapture, the glorious rapture. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I emailed my 6 grandchildren this morning. All six of them. They're all, as far as I know, outside the ark of safety, outside of the mercy. How could it happen? I don't understand. Mom and I absolutely can't figure out how our grandchildren would not be ready. It just kind of tears us out of our frame. She'll be 80 in a few days. It won't be long till I'll be there. And I was thinking this morning, we're about to leave here. In fact, I was thinking this morning, we may just be gone before Christmas. We may just be gone before Christmas. How many would like to go in the rapture before Christmas? Would you like to spend Christmas Day up there with Rose, Brother Buck? Hallelujah. What a day that's going. Anybody feel that? Anybody believe it could be before Christmas? Hallelujah. I'm going to try to get back to my word here. Hallelujah. Willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now listen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now don't mean he's a thief. And don't mean he comes in the night. Because if he came in the night here, it would not be in the night somewhere else. There's a 24-hour circle, a cycle, you know. And so he's going to come in as a thief in the night. He's using that as a type. That's a symbolic language to tell you that it's sudden. It is sudden. It's without warning. He just shows up. And he shows up with a stealth. I mean, he shows up like one of these stealth planes that we've got now, you know. They can fly over something and the radar doesn't even pick them up. If you knew some of the weaponry that the U.S. Army has, if you knew some of the weaponry that the Jewish Army has, it would boggle your mind, friend. I'm telling you, you don't know half of what they got. We live in a world with so much power in the military might. It's breathtaking. When that war starts, Gog and Magog, you're going to see things that you never even knew was possible. If it happens before the rapture, if it happens after the rapture, I guess we'll see it. But we'll be up there looking down instead of down here looking over. You know, what a day that's going to be. But it says very clearly, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Oh, you got to be kidding. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, everybody knows that has to be the rapture. You can't talk about something happening suddenly without it being the rapture. Because if it's in the middle of the tribulation, then you've already dated it by the beginning of the tribulation. If it's the end of the tribulation, we'll be the same. But since we're pre-tribs and we know that nothing can happen of judgment, of the final judgment, until the rapture takes place, we know here he's talking about the rapture when he talks about a thief in the night. And he says, suddenly the heavens pass away. Can you imagine the rapture taking place? And suddenly you look up and the whole heavens are vanishing. And suddenly the things of God come into view. And you see, the Lord set up his throne up there in the sky. Can you imagine a kid out of this church, say one of my grandchildren or one of your grandchildren, or just somebody who's been coming to visit us, and one morning they wake up and find out the rapture's taking place. They call my house, and there's no answer. I've got a message on my phone. It says, if you call and there's no answer, it may be that we've gone in the rapture. And I've got people begging me to take that off my phone because they're tired of hearing it. And I don't take it off because I want them to keep hearing it. Because I know there's a lot of people who aren't ready for that rapture that call my house. They really do. And I want to tell you something, friend. When you take a young person, they know everything about this. They know about the tribulation. They know about the Antichrist. And suddenly, Papa's gone. And Mama's gone. And Brother Marlon's gone. And all of you, hopefully, gone. And they say, wow, the rapture's taking place. And then they hear this rumble in the heavens. And they see the heavens just vanishing. And suddenly, there's the throne of God right up there in the heavens. And there's this majestic Father seated on his throne. Everybody stand with me, would you please? Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. Obey God, Brother Marlon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're so near. Can I restate for you, saith the Holy Ghost, what is written in this holy book, that I am very patient with a hungry heart for those who are unsaved. My promises have not been forgotten or forsaken. My coming is at the door. And there's only one reason I wait, saith the Lord, is I wait for the precious fruit of the earth. My heart is a heart of mercy. My heart is a heart of compassion. I reach for your children and your grandchildren and your friends and your neighbors. I reach for those who are unprepared and unready. I reach for them with grace and mercy because the moment of my coming is at the door. And awesome beyond anything this minister might say. Awesome beyond any understanding of human flesh. Prepare your heart and don't miss it, saith the Lord. Holy Christ, somebody, hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand and believe God to fill you with the Holy Ghost this morning. If ever you needed this mighty baptism, if ever you needed to be utterly and totally surrendered and full of God, it's today, friends. Hear me. So I feel his presence, and I'm going to bring the sermon to a conclusion here because I want you to have time to pray this morning. Listen to me. We are so near. We are so close until it's indescribable how close we are. And the Lord is patient, long-suffering, tender in mercy, reaching for your family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sent my family a statement of this sermon this morning and just cried out to them, please be ready. Please be ready. Would you say with me, please be ready? Tell your family, please be ready. Call them and tell them how late it is. This sermon will be on the internet before tomorrow night's over. And you call them to listen, would you? And get their hearts ready. It's time. It's time to be ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody standing in the house of God this morning, if you can and if you will, and I want to give an invitation to pray in these altars. I want you to get your heart so ready with God. Now, when you come to pray, do not come to pray anyway at this moment, but for yourself. Pray for God to get you ready. Pray for God to show you anything in your life that would keep you from the rapture. If you're neither hot nor cold but lukewarm, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He said, if you've left your first love, I'll take your candlestick out. That's what the Bible said. If you've been toying with the Bible and throwing certain scriptures away and not believing them, let me tell you, if you don't believe part of the Word of God, you're just as guilty as that bunch that have distorted the Bible by removing certain scriptures. If you don't believe them, you're just as guilty as those that remove them. Do you understand me? Do you hear that? I promise you, this book is right. This book is right. While Sister Yvette sings, if she would, I hope she will sing, He Touched Me. He Touched Me. And I want you to come and be touched this morning. How many can say, I want a place to pray? Step out and come quickly. I want a place to pray. Move as quickly as you can. I want a place to pray. Visitors, come. Visitors, come. I don't care who you are and how much of God you think you've got. You ought to come here and search it out. You ought to come here and search it out. Visitors, come right down here and make yourself at home and search out your heart. Search out your mind. Search out your thoughts. Search out everything about you and make sure you are thoroughly and totally right with God. If you haven't felt the Holy Ghost in a great length of time, you stay here till you do feel the move of the Holy Ghost. Get on your knees, if you would, and talk to the King of Kings out of your heart.